Good morning, everyone. I thank you, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. You set my soul free. You set my soul free. You've been my doctor. Been my lawyer. Been a heart fixer and a mind regulator. Made a way out of no way. Made the blind to see. Made the lame to walk. Even made dumb to talk. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you. You made a place for me. Lord, I want to thank you. You built a fence around me. Made a foundation, made a way, place, brought me out of sin and shame. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. You set my soul free. You set my soul free. You've been my doctor, been my lawyer, been a heart fixer and a mind regulator. Been away out of the way. You made the blind to see, made the lame to walk, even made the dumb to talk. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. You set my soul free. You set my soul free. You've been my doctor. Been my lawyer. Been a heart fixer and a mind regulator. Been away. Out of the way. You make the blind to see. Make the lame to walk. Even made the dumb to talk. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Great. Look at you, got them all up. It's good to see you all out today. We're going to have a wonderful day. Have a baptism right next door at La Quinta right after our service. We're excited about that. We want you, if you're able, to stick around. The buffets will wait for you, okay? But we'd love to have you stick around for a moment. It's good to have Alan Jackson and Jim Went with us today. Now, had a doubleheader on Monday. Same doctor. Back-to-back hernia surgeries, and they corrected them, and they're in church. Come on, give them a hand. They're sore, the walking wounded, but they're here. Good to have you guys. God bless you, and we'll just continue to pray for that healing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for today. We pray that you'll bless us and help us. Lord, each and every week is so different. Each and every day is challenging. And we pray, Lord, that you'll open our minds, open our hearts to the things you'd have us to receive. Forgive us where we fail you. Forgive us where we haven't been the people we should have been. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to rethink and reconnoiter our minds today and our hearts towards you. Thank you for what you're going to do in Christ's name. We pray and all God's people said, amen. Now, before you sit down, shake someone's hand, say, God bless you to somebody. You can all be seated. Don't want you to get too terribly friendly. You might end up down at the buffet we were talking about. That's going to wait for you all. going to wait for y'all. We have an exciting day today. This is Sally DeJesus. I said that correctly, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. She's a dear friend of ours. And she's Kevin's sister. And, of course, Ben is here. Ben is here. And that's her brother and Kevin's brother. And then the nephew, Kevin's nephew, your son is here. His first name is?
Nicholas.
Nicholas
Domingo de Jesus.
Well, that's a good name. Give them all a great big hand. It's so good to have him. You know, we've all been going through this with Kevin together as a church, as a family. And struggling, but he has three more treatments. Let's give Kevin a great big hand. Three more. And he has persevered like a champion. He's getting through this and doing what the doctors are saying. He's resting. He's doing everything he's supposed to do. And we're just praying for God to do a miraculous touch there, Kevin. We love you, Kevin. But a few weeks ago when she was here, she came to me. She said, Dave, you talk about baptism. I'm a Baptist. It works out that way, see. Baptist baptism, yes. And Sally said, you know, Dave, I'd like to get baptized. And through your church, so Kevin could see it happen. I said, no problem. We'll make it happen. And the Lord opened it all up. And she's back this week. This is going to be such a beautiful, beautiful time and a beautiful thing. Don't you feel that too, folks? Now, this is Sally's profession of faith. She's accepted Christ. We already asked her the questions ahead of time and all that. But we're going to do this publicly now. So all of you are going to be witnesses to the fact of Sally's testimony and who she believes in. So we're going to do that right now. Sally DeJesus, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
I have. Yes, I have.
Do you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Do you believe that He's making a home for you someday in heaven and we'll all be together with the Lord, those that love Him?
Yes.
You heard it, folks. Give her a hand. We're going to pray for you right now. I want everyone to stand again. I know. Stand again. I want you to raise your right hand towards our dear sister Sally.
Thank you.
And we're going to pray a blessing upon her right now. And hopefully, most all of you are going to go right next door and witness this baptism. So we're going to pray right now for a blessing. Lord, I pray for my sister Sally. I thank you for her testimony that she believes in you and she's trusted you as her Savior. She believes in the atoning death through your blood on the cross. She believes in the death, burial, and resurrection and that you ascended into heaven. So that we could all be with you someday as you prepare a glorious home for all of us. I pray for Sally, Lord, that today is going to be a glorious day. Not just for her and her immediate family, but also for Kevin and Ben that are here. And Lord, that all of us as a church family will be built up in the faith. And that we will glorify you for what we've seen and heard through this public testimony. Bless Sally. Fill her with your Holy Spirit, we ask this. And help her to live each and every day as a special blessing unto you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's give her a hand. Give the Lord. All right. We'll see you over at the water. Okay. And now we've got Gary Dooms. Gary's going to come and play his horn for us. Hasn't Gary done a bang-up job? I know a number of you have told me you just love his playing and everything. So he's going to play for us right now. Gare. Love that. Well, Bernie's in the house. Come on, Bern. It takes you longer to get up than it does me. It's good to have Tom back. Tom went goose hunting this week with our dear friend Jeff Tucker and a group, and he had to put on 40-pound waders to go out there. He didn't realize. I wouldn't realize it either. Hey, yeah, let's go. See that? No. And so when he finally got out there through the mud, traipsing through the mud, I got to tell on him. He said, okay, who's going to flip a coin to carry me back? He had a great time. Tom, I'm glad you got back. I was a little concerned about that, you know. But it's good to have you back, brother. But, Bernie, so you sing at the Hard Luck Diner. It's just good to always have you here. A blessing to us.
Thank you.
And you take care of our needs on our clothing and our costumes and everything.
You give me some pretty difficult stuff.
We're working on a new thing, that.
Yeah, but it'll all work out.
It's going to be great, yeah.
It will be great.
It will be great. What are you going to sing for us today?
Well, today we have this wonderful baptism for Sally today. Yep. So I'm going to do the river.
Hey, I love that. Washed to the Father,
He'll wash us clean. He'll make us new. The blood that flowed from Calvary is in the river still. The crimson blood will wash and clean you if you only will. Come on and meet me down by the river. Let's dive in life. Children do. Let our troubles wash to the Father. He'll wash us clean and He'll make us new. He'll wash you clean and He'll make you new. Praying for me.
to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe somebody's praying for me. Angels are watching. I can feel it. Angels are watching over me. There's many miles ahead till I get home. Still I'm safely kept before your throne. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Angels over me. Well, I've walked the barren wilderness where a pillow was a stone, and I've been through the darkest cavern where no light had ever shone. Still I go on, 'cause there was someone who was down. Thank you for those people spending all that time. Somebody's praying. I can feel it. Somebody's praying. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe somebody's praying.
Let's give them all a great big hand. It was a great worship today. And what a great song there at the end also, Tamara. How many of you have all along had someone praying for you somewhere? It's a good feeling, isn't it? That someone praying. I have a godly mother. God bless her. She's in the throes of dementia. Some of you know about that. But all along, as I've grown up, she's praying for me. Godly Father, all along, praying for me. And to know that somebody really is caring and lifting you up to the Lord so that you could have a relationship with Him and that you could go on in your faith, it's a wonderful thing. You know, I got to spend a little time with the Jacksons this last week, and we're going to be lifting Brenda up. She's going in for some tests coming up, and we're just going to hold her up to the Lord. Love you guys. We really connected from California. Hello. Out near Port Hueneme, in that area. Brother Allen served in the Navy out there, and such a wonderful testimony he has, and how he came to faith, and how the Lord has just blessed both Alan and Brenda. What a wonderful time that we shared together. And then they said the bingo word. They were Baptist. I like it a lot. It's all right. You know what? I tease about the denomination, but it's not about the denomination. There's one reason why I do like the Baptists. Now, sometimes Baptists have a bad name. Now they call them community churches. They take the Baptists out because they've always been kind of a stickler. No drinking, no dancing, no smoking, none of that kind of stuff. So they've always been a stickler in the past, and that name has been synonymous with a little bit of a legalistic approach to our religion. But the Baptists have one concept. Get them saved, get them in the water, and build them up in the faith. It's New Testament theology. A lot of times we think, well, we have to educate them to bring them to faith. They have to know the basics. But there's that childlike faith that we have when we first come to Christ. We don't know all the theology, all the doctrines of Christianity. But we understand the basics. Jesus loved us, just like we said today. Died on the cross, shed his precious blood for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we receive him, to as many as receive him, to them, he gave the right, the authority, the power to be called the children of God. We can become a child of the King if we accept Jesus Christ. Now, today I'm watching the news. And it's the weirdest thing, the political upheaval and everything. And I have this one concept. Everyone is trying to elect a savior. Think about it. Someone that's going to save us. A deliverer, a Messiah, as if it were. I hate to disappoint any of you Republican or Democrats. You cannot elect a savior. There may be some good people out there that care about this country and love this country. There may be some folks out there that have the best interest of all of us, even as Christians and our worship and everything. That's all said and done. That's all good. But the truth is, you cannot elect a savior or deliverer. I can't. You can't. The world can't. The United States can't do it in November. When God first created all of us, there was what we call a theocracy. God ruled. He did. He's a loving and benign God. Even at the beginning, when Cain rose up and slew Abel, I've been reading in the scriptures, going through the Bible reading, Cain rose up against his brother in anger, in bitterness, and in malice slew his brother. God didn't wipe him out. God was merciful to Cain. And he lived on and had generations of family members. And I thought, why didn't God just... Because God is merciful and long-suffering. It's true. Even in the Old Testament, God was always merciful and long-suffering. That's why we worship him. And that's why he wants to be our God. He wants to be our sovereign. He wants to be our king. He wants to be our president. And that we will abide by him and we will follow his leadership and his will for all of us. Now, I'm not telling you not to go out and vote. This is not a political speech at all. I'm saying get out and vote. And vote your conscience and vote what God tells you to do. But I want you to do this. I want you to pray. Pray that God will help you in all the decisions you make and show you the way. We will not elect a deliverer or a savior. Do not get that concept. If we just have this person, that person, no. The only thing that's going to change is when we change as human beings and as Christians. And when we change, then there's going to be a big difference in this world. John the Beloved was talking about this in 2 John. He writes this second letter specifically to a family, a leader, a woman that was in the church. And he addresses her as the elect lady, someone that's chosen of God, but not just that. Probably this person was someone that he had ministered to and had grown up in the faith. One of his spiritual daughters that had strong faith. Not only her, but her family had come to faith also because of her strong faith. And it says this in verse 5, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another." John was a disciple of love, but he also was the evangelist, which means this. He's going to tell you straight up how it's got to be, because he knew Jesus closer than any other person. Verse 6, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments." So we need to love one another, and we need to walk in his commandments. We prove that we love Jesus, we love the Lord, if we walk. And that word walk in the Greek is peripateo, which means to behave a certain way. There's Old Testament commandments, there's a bunch of them in there. There's New Testament commandments, and Jesus said, "I'm going to one-up you. You know all the commandments. You even know this one in the Old Testament, that you love your neighbor as yourself. But I'm going to give you another one, to love your enemies." Wouldn't that be something in the United States of America? If we followed the Scripture, God's Word, that says to love one another. If we would see in our political upheaval, the right, the left, whatever, the moderates, if we would all choose to love one another, what a revolution would take place in this country. We prove that we love Jesus when we obey him. It's like a wife that says she just loves her husband, but she's always unfaithful to him. You know, she can't remain faithful and always consorting with men. And she comes home and tells her husband, "I just love you. I just love you." He says, "You love me?" "Yes, I love you." "Well, then prove it. Prove it by changing and walking right with me instead of all these other people. Prove that you love Jesus by walking with him and not all these other gods and other things that take us away from him. If we walk with Jesus, peripateo, which means, once again, to walk about and to live and behave a certain way. If we live up to his commandments and we follow him and live for him, we're going to prove to the world that we love Jesus. Just makes sense. Now, this last week we saw a Super Bowl game. Boy, what a game that was, huh? Let's don't get into it too much. I don't want to get too excited. But if during the course of the game, and I've said this before, our young man, Mahomes, got ticked off in the third quarter when the defense was starting to bend, but they didn't break. They didn't break, but they were starting 6 yards of crack. 6 yards. And that offensive line of the Niners was so tough, man. They're starting to bend, but they didn't break. If he went over to the sideline and he watched his defense out there, what if he pulled his jersey off, walked over to the other side of the field and put on a Niners jersey, said, "I'm going to play for you from now on." You say, "Oh, that never happened. He'd lose this and that, lose his money." No. It happens every day. That didn't happen, but that situation happens every day. As we as Christians go into the world, the other side, the other team, and we have our jerseys on that represent Jesus Christ. Everything that we do, the Bible says we're living epistles, which means everything that we do shouts out that we're Christian. But when we get out there in the world, and things maybe not going so well, and things are rough, and we get a little angry, a little bitter, and we take off that jersey for the Lord, and we put on the world's jersey, and we start to live, act, behave, live just like the world. Happens every day. If you love him, you will not just keep him, but you'll walk in his commandments. and live in them on a daily basis. It's all or nothing with Jesus. He's not asking you someday, wake up in the morning, if you're not feeling like it, you don't have to put on that jersey. The next day you wake up, hey, if you feel like it, put on the jersey. It's all or nothing. Either you're all in or you're all out. Either you're part of the team or you're not. We have to make up our minds as Christians which team we're going to play for. That's what John is saying back then, some 2,000 years ago. It's so pertinent for us today. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Verse 6. This is the commandment that we have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it. Verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist. Many deceivers, planos in the Greek, a misleader, one that leads astray. These are people that come in. Wolves in sheep's clothing, they have one agenda, to take away the truth from the believers. They indoctrinate them. They teach some other truth that is not of the scripture, that is not of God. They want to deceive. They want to come in. And maybe there's naive people or uncritical people or undiscerning believers. And they listen to this type of teaching and they embrace it. There's a lot of bad teaching today. You turn on the television, you're going to hear all kinds of things. You're going to hear how every Christian should be rich, and because that money can go so much and do so much for the Lord. You're going to hear how Christians are supposed to be prospered and how they're supposed to have all kinds of manner of physical manifestation and homes, material wealth, big fat bank accounts. They're going to learn. You're going to hear this from teachers that are taking you away from the truth. Jesus said this: if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Nothing about great prosperity, nothing about money, nothing about material wealth or gain, nothing about power, even as a person. Every one of the disciples died a pauper. What would that do to us today if someone came up to us and said, well, you can accept Christ. Oh, it sounds good. You believe in the death, burial, and resurrection? Yes, I do. You believe that Jesus is a Savior? Yes, I do. You confess and say all the good things. Well, if you do that, you're going to have to lose everything in your life, even your standing in the community. Wait a second. Now, all of a sudden, things change. Looks a lot different. Put yourself in the early Hebrews' shoes. If they accepted Jesus Christ, if they were a follower of the Lord, they were completely ostracized by their family. They and their religion, Judaism, had become apostate. When fathers and mothers would walk on the street and their son or daughter had accepted Christ and were moving with the Lord and walking with, they would walk on the other side. Their son or daughter was dead. Some of them would even go through ceremonies where they would have a funeral for their son or daughter. They put all on the line to believe in Jesus Christ. It's not about what we can get out of this life for Jesus. It's about what we are given and what we in turn can give. It's not about getting. I heard one preacher say, hey, if you accept Christ, you're going to get this and get this. And it's all about getting. He said that. I go, no. He gave, and because he gave, we should give. If we follow Jesus Christ, we may lose our lives. We may lose everything. Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. We have to get back to the basics of what Christianity is about. It's not about prosperity, not about money, not about power and fame and glory. It's not about that. It's all about Christ and the cross and what he did for us. It's about the kingdom of God and how we can build up that eternal and spiritual kingdom. It's not an earthly kingdom, that's for sure. Not a fleshly kingdom. It's all about his kingdom. John the Beloved is teaching that. Deceivers are coming. They're going to take you away from the truth. The truth is that Jesus is all of God and all of man. Supernatural. If you accept him and follow him and believe in him, you're going to be saved. You're going to be a Christian. But these other were coming into the early church saying, he wasn't God. He was just a prophet. Just the teachings, just his words are what we should look at. It's not about who he really was. And the early church fathers took great heat for standing up for who Jesus Christ was. John, the Beloved, stood up for who Jesus Christ was because he knew him. Knew him better than anyone else. 3 years, he was the right-hand man of Jesus Christ. The Beloved. Many deceivers, they're coming to the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist. Not the antichrist in the New Testament and the book of the Revelation. Not the antichrist mentioned in some of the Old Testament books like Ezekiel and Daniel. The antichrist. The spirit of antichrist. The spirit of antichrist, which tells us that Jesus isn't who he claimed to be. This is a deceiver and an antichrist that what? Does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Sally confessed it today. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. She confessed it. He died, was buried, and rose again the third day. Confessed who he was. He was all of God and all of man. Making a home for us in heaven. God. Jesus was God. Confessed it with her mouth. She's saved. She's a Christian. She loves the Lord. Then it says this in verse 8. And I like this because it's so critical. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Look to yourselves. Don't depend on somebody else. Oh, my mama was a Christian. My daddy was a good man. I had an aunt. I had an uncle. I had a grandfather that was a Christian. Don't look to the family members. Look to yourself. We have to take responsibility for ourselves. You have to take responsibility for your soul. You say, well, I thought the Lord took care of that. The free gift and all that, that's good. Yeah, he did. Died on the cross so you would have the opportunity to accept him, come to the cross, and open up your heart to him. He gave you that opportunity. Now, once we come to the cross and accept Jesus as our Savior, it's up to us to maintain that walk with the Lord. We have to walk in love and in his commandments. And if we don't, serious problem. He's going to talk about that in a second here. Look to yourselves. It's up to us individually. We have to take a personal interest, each and every one of us, to hold on to the truth of Jesus Christ and who he really is, no matter what. When things are bad, when we get the bad report from the doctor, when the economy is bad and we're struggling, when our family is starting to fall apart and things are happening out in the world, we still cling and hold on to the truth, Jesus Christ himself. Last week, Jeanette was here, Leon's daughter. She shared her testimony, lost her first husband in an airplane accident. She lost one daughter to brain cancer. The son that she had came down with a similar situation. 6 years later, lost her son. And instead of getting bitter, angry with God, saying, you didn't give me a fair shake. Life's not fair. You're not fair, God. I'm not going to love you. I'm not going to worship you. I'm not going to walk with you. Instead, she turned her face toward him. Not away from him, but toward him. And she worshiped him. And she trusted him. And she believed in him no matter what. The truth is always the truth no matter what. The truth of Jesus Christ is still there. Even though things are bad here on this planet. And things may be bad in our life because bad things happen to good people. Happens to all of us. How will you react when the bad happens? We need to turn to the Lord. To put our faith and trust in him no matter what. It said, look to yourselves. That we lose not those things what we have wrought. Wrought in the Greek is ergazomai, which means to work for, to gauge in, to commit to. Be careful that we lose not apolemy in the Greek, which means to utterly destroy, to perish, to lose or mar. So it's telling them, get a hold of yourselves. Because you've got to do whatever God wants you to do and walk with him no matter what. It's up to you. Look for yourselves. Nobody else, not other Christians, not even the other leaders. They're not always going to have John with them. They're not always going to have the apostles, the disciples with them. The teachers aren't always going to be there. You've heard the truth. Now it's up to you to walk in the truth as you know it and heard it and received it. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we've worked for. That those things aren't just going to be wiped out that we work for. Like every faithful pastor, both John the Beloved and Paul the Apostle were concerned that those under their care and teaching would never lose ground spiritually, that they would continue to grow in the Lord on a daily basis. Not that they just backslide and fall off and then come back maybe and then fall away. No, that they continually, steadily climb towards the kingdom of God. They were concerned that they would gain ground. And it was this concern that prompted the Apostle Paul to rebuke the Galatians for dabbling in false doctrines. Here's what he said, "You foolish Galatians," in Galatians 3. "Who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" They were turning away from the Lord and starting to embrace secularism, humanistic teachings on philosophy that was apart from who Jesus Christ was. The comment was made that the church today has this great legacy that's been handed down to us, a heritage that should be preserved at all costs, that men of faith and men of renown through history have taught us and defended the true gospel, and often at a great cost of time, effort, persecution, even to the point of death. Now the church is sitting in this valley right now. What direction? This way or that way? Is it going to embrace what the world teaches apart from the Bible itself? Are we going to embrace God's Word? And specifically, John himself, the Beloved, there was an eyewitness that was there with Jesus for 3 years, as we stated. He knew him better than anyone else and proclaimed him all of God and all of man. When somebody preaches some other gospel, we need to know the truth. It's not from the Lord. It's not in the Scripture. It's not from him. Apostle Paul repeatedly talked to Timothy, his young up-and-coming pastor. He said, "Oh, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you." We need to guard the truth of Jesus Christ, who he is. And said this, "Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." He goes on, 2 Timothy, "You, however, continue to walk in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, from the apostles and disciples, the truth of who Jesus Christ is." The Bible says in the last days they're going to be coming, there will become many deceivers to us, many people that will claim to be Christ. "I can save you. You vote for me, I can save you." The Bible tells us don't look to them, look to the Lord Jesus himself, Christ himself. Verse 9 goes on. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. The main thing is about abiding. The word in the Greek is meno, which means to live under, to live with, to dwell with. The same word, to continue on. Whoever transgresses, sins, trespasses to violate a command of the Lord, to deviate from Christ's words, and abideth not in the doctrine of who Jesus Christ is, didaka in the Greek, which means instruction, teaching, doctrine. Doctrine is so critical and important to us. We have to abide in the doctrine of who Jesus Christ is. If we abide, go back to verse 8, the last part. If we abide, if we remain, and it's a condition, we receive a full reward. If we live in the truth, if we walk in the truth, if we love one another, if we love His commandments, if we teach and promote His word, we receive a full reward. Paul talked about this reward. Just listen to this. You don't have to turn there. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, those are the good things, or the negative, wood, hay, stubble, bad stuff, maybe even sin. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built up thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We talked about this in the book of the Revelation. Throne room of God. The Bema Seat judgment. Everything that we've done in the flesh, the works, good things, bad things, somehow is going to be piled up on the crystal sea of the throne room, right there. Remember I made the mention in the book of the Revelation, the crystal sea is very, it's clear. You can see through it. And we, at that point, standing before God, are going to be so transparent. We're naked before God at the judgment seat. Once again, the judgment seat is not the great white throne, whether you're going to make it, go to heaven or hell, whatever. It's not the great white throne. This judgment seat, all Christians will go through it. All of our works, everything that we've done in the flesh, oh my goodness. You say, well, what if I've sinned? I believe this because we studied it intensely. Unconfessed sin, it's going to be out there. People are going to see that unconfessed sin. Because it's going to talk about works, whether good or bad. Good or bad, evil is bad. It's going to be placed out there. I know a lot of you Christians say, oh, all the sin is forgiven. All the sin. No. You get to heaven if you accept Christ, yeah. But if you have not built upon the Lord Jesus Christ and had silver and gold and precious stones, which represents those good things that we do for the kingdom of God, those good things that we do for Jesus Christ on a daily basis, how we love one another and interact with one another. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, bad stuff, not good stuff, flesh stuff, stuff that we've done, good or bad, not necessarily for God. Maybe it was about us. Burns it all up. Fire is always about purification in the Bible. Purification. What comes through the fire is the reward that's left behind. Gold, silver, precious stones, representing our good works for the Lord. And if everything is burned up, if we have a clear slate out there on the crystal sea, there's nothing left behind. The Bible says, and this is scary, You will be saved because the word of God is accurate, but so is through the fire. That means you are saved, barely escaping hellfire. You say, oh, that's your interpretation. No, no. These are scholars that are much smarter than me. These are ancient scholars going back. It's going back to these guys, Paul. Was concerned. Buffet myself, he said. I keep myself together so if I preach to others, I'm cast away. I don't want to be shelved. I want to have that reward to give to the Lord for my life that has represented Him in a correct way. Got to go back to this illustration. This last week we saw a defense, the Chiefs, bend in that third quarter heavily, 6 yards a crack. Strong offensive team running the ball. Great speed and runners, great strength and controlling interior line, offensive line for the Niners. And I thought, oh, this is it. This is the defining moment. Score went up, 10 more points, 20-10. I thought, oh. But I saw that defense hold. They were bending, but they weren't breaking. They were not completely falling apart. And as Christians, we have to learn the concept of bend, but don't break. When the doctor gives us a bad report, we bend a little. Our legs get a little weak, but we don't break. When we come to a part in our lives and our business is not doing as well and the economy is shaken up a bit and we're not doing as well as we could, we bend but we don't break. When we're having personal problems with our spouses, with our family, with our young people, with our children, and things are out of whack a little bit, like they might come and it will happen, we bend as Christians but we don't break. And if we will learn this concept today, and if you won't remember anything else, my admonition is that we as Christians get a new mindset. We will bend under some of the pressures in the world. We will bend under the onslaught of Satan. We will bend sometimes when things aren't going well. But we never, as born-again Christians, ever, ever break. We stand. And we go on in our faith. If we trust the Lord and commit our hearts to Him, we're going to stand for Him no matter what. We're going to commit ourselves to Him. And we're not going to fall when times get hard. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. We know that Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it abundantly. That abundant life He showed us. It was not about prosperity and monies and bank accounts and material things. It was about that peace that passes all understanding that we can have. In the midst of the storm, we can stand up and walk with Christ no matter what happens to us. I'm telling you today, we can do better as a church. We can stand up. And when Satan throws the onslaught of hell our way, and things are bad, we can stand up in the face of death, pain, even destruction, and we can say, I still believe in you, Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what, though you slay me, yet I will trust you, no matter what. Because you are the truth, and you are the way. And I'm going to commit myself to you no matter what. Maybe you're here today and the Lord touched you in a special way. This isn't a salvation message. This is a message to Christians. If you're here today, and maybe you're not in that place you should be with the Lord, and you want prayer, no one's looking. This is between you and the Lord. Will you slip your hand up and put it down? No one's looking. Yes. Yes, all over. God bless you. Yes. Yes. God bless. Lord, I pray for each and every person that's here today, that they will recommit themselves to walking in the newness of life with you. Lord, we all have sinned. We all fall short. But we as Christians have confessed and committed our way to you. So I pray, Lord God, that you'll help us each and every day to stay close to you, to walk with you in the newness of life, so that when the times are hard and rough, we go to you, the rock. We go to you, our strength. We go to you, our strong tower. And we recommit ourselves to you. And we know that you will see us through, no matter what. Lord, I pray for each and every person that has raised their hand, that your Spirit will move in a special way. We thank you for what you're going to do. Bless each and every person. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen. I want to thank you for coming once again today. We're going to have a baptism, so don't forget that. After we have our communion, just for a moment, we're going to go right over to the swimming pool. I think we could even go through the outer door there. There's a door that goes right into the swimming area. And if not, we'll have someone come around and open the door so that we can go in there. But just takes a moment, but it's going to be such a blessing. Stick around for a few moments. And we're going to have that great time with the Weiglers and Sally and Nicholas and all of them, Lord. The Lord's going to be there in a big way. It's going to be a great time. We're talking about an announcement here with what's going to happen with Channel 33, our local ABC affiliate. A number of you came to me last week wondering what to do. We have set up an account, a television production account at the bank. And some of you said, Dave, what do we do? Well, as soon as we mentioned that we were going to do this, that we really felt God wanted us to reach, and the range is great. Thousands and thousands of people. It'll come into their home 6 o'clock to 6:30 every Sunday, right before the James River TV program. Right before that. And I think people will tune in, and the Lord can bless them, and some people may come to Christ. And people may come and be part of our live program here and what we have going at our theater. Some of you said, what's it going to take? Well, immediately when this came out, we raised half of the finances. Just immediately, even before I came to you folks with this, it's $250 a week. A month is $1,000. We get 18 commercial spots every week, which are directing people here to the theater and to our church service, Branson Gospel Sunday. So I'm kind of excited about that, too. 18 spots about our church service. And it's going to be on local television, channel 33 if you have Dish or DirecTV, channel 8 if you have Suddenlink. And I think some of the other ones, I was looking around, some may be 7. Mediacom has some other ones, maybe 15 or something. But it's going to be in the cable networks. It's going to be in all of our local television going on right here. So it's $250 a week. We raised half of it, which is approximately $6,000. And some of you came last week saying, what do we do? If you write a check, we want to earmark it, and you want a special gift to go to help for the television that we can put the Word of God out 30 minutes every Sunday. It's going to be, you're going to mark Branson Gospel Sunday. That's what you write the check. And in the bottom, you put TV. We're going to put it in that special dedicated account for the TV ministry so that the monies can go directly for that. Also, if you tithe to this and make this your regular church, once again, this is a gift. It can be a one-time gift for the television thing. It can be a weekly thing. But our tithing is used to keep the ministry going on a weekly basis. So if you want to do that, if you want to come alongside, that's the way you do it. And you can write a check and just put TV if you want to give a gift to the television ministry and what God's doing. I want everyone to stand. We have communion here in a moment. It's an open table. I don't care what denomination. Some people call it an abomination. I don't care what it is. It's the Lord's table. So stick around for a moment. Keep that short list even shorter. I thought our singers did a great job, didn't they? Tamara and Bernie, I love that. The River. Ah, great, great song for Sally today. And Gary did a wonderful job. You did a great job. We do have a bucket on the way out. If you're able to help with our regular ministry, we say thanks. We're not going to pass the hat or do anything embarrassing. But just you being here has been an incredible blessing. Now, for some of you that have never been here before, I don't usually talk about money. I'm not a fundraiser. I don't do that at all. It's just that we're starting April 5th, going to be on our television. And some of you had asked, what would it take to be part of it? And I didn't want to have a meeting and everything and a lot of questions. So I'm just giving it to you. And whatever God directs in your lives, you can do that. We do have some prayer requests. Want to remember Brenda coming up with some of her tests coming up. We're going to lift Brenda Jackson up to the Lord. We want to still remember Jim Went and Alan Jackson, the doubleheader, I keep calling it. The doctor is a good doctor. We had got to talk to him a little bit, but just pray for complete healing, both of them. I know it's a struggle, but that God will touch them. Lou Kelly went into hospice care last Thursday, and I talked to Liz, I think, on Friday or Saturday, and he's not doing well at all. And she just asked that we pray for him. I pray with Liz for Lou on the phone, but let's lift them up to the Lord. They were such an integral part of this ministry for so many years, and then they moved back to be closer with family and so forth, back to Arizona. So just pray for Lou as he's going through this time. Kevin, our dear brother, we're hanging in there. He's got three more treatments. And like I said, I saw him this last week and we ran some errands. And I said, Kevin, you've pulled through like a champ. And let's just pray that he finishes these three treatments and that God will just have his way and God will just touch him in a special way. Let's just pray for Kevin that God's going to do that. George is here today. George and Sody. I just love George and Sody. Like I said, we're trying to talk them into coming back, moving back. We'll see how God works that out. But I love it, George. And he's in church and had some heart issues and stents and everything. And then had some issues after that. But you're looking good, man. Coloring's good. Have you ran the mile yet? Next week, he's going to run a mile. I love you guys. Carl and Ann, we're praying for Brian, the complete healing, that God's going to touch him, lifting him up to the Lord. Norma's daughter and her son, Danny. Norma, how are they doing? You hear anything new? Yeah. Oh, nursing facility. Oh, well, we'll lift him up to the Lord, Norma, and lift you up. It looks like you're talking a little better. You're feeling a little better. We love you, Norma. We'll lift up for the kids. Want to remember Bill and Richard. Bill Scritchfield, saw him this last week. Just struggling. We just pray that God's merciful. Pray for Wanda. Wanda does so much for us here. And we just pray for God to be merciful to Brother Bill. Richard Jenkins, pray that God's going to bless him, help him as he's in a nursing facility, and Bonnie. And we just pray that God's going to bless each and every person. Did I miss anyone here? Don't forget the baptism. I'm going to pray. Lord, we thank you that you're the God that hears. Pray that you will help us and encourage us. We just pray for all these that are sick and infirm, that you'll touch them in Jesus' name. There's healing through the blood of Christ. We know this. So we ask you to touch them in Jesus' name. Perform your miracles. Help them. Encourage them. We ask this. Lord, for others that have lost loved ones or are going through the valley of the shadow, I pray that you'll bless them and help them and encourage them. Lord, we pray for our ministry here at Branson Gospel Evangelistic Center, that you help it and that the word of Christ will go forth. And Lord, that we won't compromise and we won't bend, but we will stand up for the truth. I pray that you'll help us and bless us as we do this and encourage each and every person today. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. We pray, all God's people said, amen. Good morning. God bless each and every one.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.